we hear?
I'm starting to record now.
Recording. So ready when you are.
Okay, 32. All right, recording. Good. Here we go. Me. Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 132. Hope you've all been well. It's been a while, probably about 3 weeks. This week we're going to focus on just a little bit of news and kind of what's coming up soon, because we have something coming up really, really soon and we're super excited about it. As always, I'm Mikey B and I'm joined by my co-host Ben. Hey Ben.
Hello.
Welcome.
How's it going?
Back to Welcome back to a galaxy far, far away. I'm super excited you're here. I'm super excited to talk about Star Wars. I love talking about Star Wars, you know. It's a Star Wars podcast.
Star Wars?
I know, right? It's a podcast about, you know, something called, that movie that became books, that became comics, that became a park, that became
video games.
Anyway, yeah, exactly. Anyway, if you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at Our Radio Podcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page or send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net. You can also leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. Now, I will tell you this, Ben. I know you're not a huge fan of audiobooks, but there have been some amazing audiobooks that have just come out for Star Wars that I've had a chance to listen through. And I kid you not, like, I actually ran listening to an audiobook, and I ran the longest I've ever run. I ran for 2.5 hours, almost getting my full 13. Yeah, I'm training for a half marathon here. So I almost got the full 13 miles done listening to this book because I was so engrossed to it. So there's a couple books that have come out recently. Alphabet Squadron, super awesome, tie into the comics. We've talked about this on the show, about a month ago. The Alphabet Squadron was great, but the one that just completely drew me in was none other than Thrawn, Treason, which is really, really good. It takes place
A Thrawn book.
I know, but see, here's the thing is, Timothy Zahn is just so good. I want a Thrawn movie so, so bad. But Thrawn Treason, the third book from Timothy Zahn in the new canon, obviously there's like 6 Thrawn books in the old EU, but this new one is just so good. It really doesn't, it's interesting. It makes me hate Orson Krennic even more, because it deals with like the building of the Death Star, supply line. It sounds kind of like,
because like
boring.
Krennic was killed by the Death Star, so it's fine.
Yeah, so it's fine. But yeah, it is one of those things where I was just like, I was so into it. I'm like, okay, I have to listen to this book while I'm running. And it was just great. Like, I was able to like get past all the pain and the stress and the heat and everything, and just like keep focusing. So it was a great thing to train to. Also, I just got the Galaxy's Edge book, A Crash of Fate. So Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, A Crash of Fate. I haven't started listening to that, but I'm excited to get into it. So check it out at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio, or buy the actual books and read them. They're absolutely awesome. But it's time for the news. Anyway,
news.
So I know, right? So the first bit of news is actually kind of bittersweet and kind of exciting. So at Star Wars Celebration in Chicago back in April, I mentioned I got a chance to go to the Resistance panel, which I was really excited for. I got to see and meet all the actors who voice all the characters, be surrounded by fans. Like, the room was huge of fans that loved Resistance. It was great. My wife and I were there. And we got to watch the first episode of Season 2, which was great, but it's been like a while since I've seen Season 2 of Resistance, and I can't wait to see what happens next. Well, we just got our trailer.
It's been a while since
Star Wars
Season 1.
Yeah. But for those who haven't seen Season 1, that's it. But there is a trailer for Star Wars Resistance Season 2. And, Ben, what did you think of this trailer?
It's ridiculously epic. That was my first kind of take on it. I also really like the, I don't know, I think I said this about Season 1. The animation style is so cool, and it kind of draws you in. And it looks like they're kind of playing that to the best of their abilities. But no, I was mostly just excited by kind of the scope of what the season looks like it's going to be.
Yeah, it definitely looks good. Like, when you talked about the animation style, you know, I was watching the trailer for the first time at work, and I had a friend's like, oh, whoa, what is that? It looks like an anime even. And I was like, yeah, it's exactly that style. It's that cel-shaded anime style, film or TV show. But what's really cool about, you know, Resistance, if you don't know, if you didn't see season one ends, literally ends at the end of The Force Awakens and leads us right into The Last Jedi. So it takes place in that really short, maybe 3 hour, 4 hour overlap between the destruction of Starkiller Base and what happens with, you know, Princess Leia call, or General Leia calling for support, right? And
right.
The crew, the people that you're following, are completely, you know, they're part of the Resistance, but they're not. So Kaz is the only member of the Resistance. He's a spy for General Leia, and he's worked with Poe Dameron and BB-8 through all of her season to find out what the First Order has interest in the Colossus. This is this huge station that's just docked on the ocean. Well, we turn to find out that the Colossus is not a station on the ocean. It's actually a starship. It's a refueling station, so it's a really, really big, you know, ship and everything like that. And to get away from the First Order, they blast off, they leave the planet they're on, and they go to hyperspace. And that's literally where season one ends, is they shrug off the First Order and they are flying to hyperspace. They were actually going to Dakar originally, where the Resistance base was, but they didn't have enough fuel to make it, so they're going to come up somewhere else. So season two is going to take place in the exact same timeline as The Last Jedi, and we found out that there's only two seasons of Resistance. Which makes me wonder, is if any of the characters from Star Wars Resistance will make their way into Rise of Skywalker. Because we know everything's interconnected, so much so that we have Kylo Ren showing up in Star Wars Resistance.
Yeah, I was gonna say that my favorite part of the trailer was the fact that Kylo Ren showed up, but I didn't know if we were gonna wait to get there.
Well, you know, it does, but it's interesting because it brings up Kylo Ren, but it also shows a little bit past The Last Jedi, because Kylo Ren is now the head of the First Order, at least in the scene that we see in the trailer. So this, you know, this is taking place, starts right at the end of where The Last Jedi is going to take place. It goes through the timeline that we've seen, where Luke kind of makes a fun of the whole First Order. Rey and Kylo fight off Snoke. Snoke is dead, so Kylo becomes the supreme leader now. And then it kind of continues on. Now, it won't tie into the same timeline as Rise of Skywalker, because we know Rise of Skywalker takes place years after The Last Jedi, whereas between Force Awakens and Last Jedi, there was almost no time change. You know, you still see Rey handing the lightsaber to Luke that we saw at the end of The Last Jedi. So it is definitely one of those things where this is going to fill kind of that little bit of time gap that we're going to have between Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker. So I'm really excited to see it. It is one of those things where, just like Rebels and Clone Wars, it is following a new set of characters. But you grow to love them. Like, I love Kaz. I love Nico. I love Jaeger. I love all the characters, and they're just absolutely awesome. And I think the concept of what Resistance is and the way the fighter pilots are and everything, it kind of almost reminds me a little bit of Alphabet Squadron, this hodgepodge group of people fighting for freedom in the galaxy. So it definitely has the vein of Star Wars in it. It is aimed at a little bit younger audience. I will be honest with you. I think I mentioned this in an episode with Caitlin. It took me about 6 episodes to really get into it. And then even then, I was still kind of slow. And then the last 5 episodes of season 1 were just great. And I hope season 2 kind of picks up after that, because there's no more character introduction. It just is all good. I don't know. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way too. I mean, right. I don't know. The trailer kind of promises, or I guess it kind of looks like they're just going to hop right back in and just go full throttle for a whole season, because it is kind of their last hurrah.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, the first episode, without doing any spoilers, the first episode of season 2 is definitely one of those things where it wraps up a lot of the loose ends of season 1, in the sense of, oh my gosh, we're going to hyperspace without fuel, there's problems, oh my gosh, life support's ending. So like, there's all the things that you expect to happen, and mm-hmm. they're dealing with it. Plus, it kind of explains a little bit how the First Order is able to track that we saw in Last Jedi. It doesn't answer right. Some of that, because they're able to track the Colossus, and they explain a little bit more in the even in the first episode, which is kind of nice. So that's something that's there, and I think it kind of resolves some people's arguments and distaste for Last Jedi. Anyway, moving on. Coming up next week is the grand opening of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge in Hollywood Studios. Yes, Hollywood Studios is in Orlando, Florida, not California. That's the theme park that Disney has where Galaxy's Edge is placed. It's opening on the 31st of August, so it's coming up soon. But cast member previews have begun, and they've been ongoing. And the really cool thing about cast previews for Galaxy's Edge in Hollywood Studios is, unlike the one in California, they have not banned cell phones or cameras. So we have been seeing photo after photo after photo of all the wonderful stuff in Galaxy's Edge. I actually have a friend who went to Florida's and got to see it in the cast preview, has also been to California's, and they said what I thought it was. It's exactly the same, which is awesome. I think the biggest thing is that Florida's is probably going to see more people, just because the sheer size of Disney World.
Yeah, Disney World's massive.
Yeah, well, Disney World's massive. It's what, four parks?
Four, yeah, and then two water parks, and then like a downtown Disney, or it's not called that. I think it's called Disney Springs.
Yeah, Disney Springs, but now. So, you know, so Disney World itself is huge. But they're both the same 14 acres. And we did get a little bit of news, if I can find it anywhere. We did get a little bit of news about the hotel coming to Disney World for Galaxy's Edge. They did announce that they said they're going to do 2 to 3 days only in the hotel, which makes sense because we mentioned that you won't have any windows, and you'll actually get on a shuttle, so you're not going to actually exit out of the hotel into the park. You'll get on a shuttle just like you normally do, but the shuttle is heavily modified to make it look like you're in a space pod, and you'll be coming down into it. So you actually get on a tube, like essentially a docking tube, walk through into the shuttle that is not like a bus shuttle, and has LCD projected displays that make it look like you're coming from space, landing on Batuu. So the very first ride you would go on would be literally the entrance into Galaxy's Edge. The big difference between Galaxy's Edge and Florida and California is purely the entrances into the theme park area. They are different. So the entrance areas are different because obviously they're coming from Hollywood Studios versus main Disneyland, where you have Tomorrowland, Frontierland, and all the different lands that lead into it. So those entryways are a little bit different. So I'm excited for it, and I can't find it, but I remember seeing it somewhere in my Twitter feed, someone having a picture of these new cars, which I thought was just really cool.
It's exciting.
Anyway, moving on. If you're going to Galaxy's Edge anytime soon, in either Florida or California, take some pictures, send them to us, let us know what you thought, your thoughts are. We are going to be doing a special episode coming up soon. I can't really announce too much, but we're going to compare and contrast Galaxy's Edge to another very popular fandom park, and kind of some of the different things. So I'm really excited to be able to talk about that. And I'm also excited that we're going to have the second ride opening for Galaxy's Edge soon, by the end of the year in both Florida and then early next year in California. So that's happening. Now, our biggest news that we have is coming up. It's actually starting tomorrow, so I'm going to release this episode today after we're done recording it. But our biggest news is coming up at D23. You know, we talked a little about San Diego Comic-Con with Star Wars, and Star Wars didn't have much of a presence at San Diego Comic-Con other than one thing, which we'll talk about in a minute. But D23 is where we're going to get a whole bunch of stuff. We know for a fact that on Friday, during the Disney Plus Pavilion panel, we're going to go ahead and get a Mandalorian trailer. So we're going to get the very first Star Wars trailer for Mandalorian. Now, we have gotten some behind-the-scenes footage.
Sneak peek.
At Celebration, yeah. But it was never publicly released. You know, there is cell phone footage out there. You can hunt yourself. I'll never link to it because it's not officially released. But it looks awesome. Take a look at it if you haven't. But we'll get our first trailer at the Disney Plus Showcase, and that's Friday at 3:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. And Jon Favreau will obviously be there with Dave Filoni and talk about the series and what's coming up with it, and also other series. You know, Favreau's going to be there not just to mention Mandalorian, but also to mention Clone Wars. Are you excited for this, Ben?
I am. Yeah, I've actually... So, like, over the course of the summer... I don't have Netflix, right? So I have a budget for a streaming service. So I was looking into whether or not to try out the Disney Plus thing, and the more I read up on stuff like Mandalorian, and there's other stuff that are not Star Wars that the streaming service is going to provide, but, like, I'm kind of ready to sign up for something. and I think it's going to be this. Especially, I can see myself really liking the trailer tomorrow, because I think my one thing, you know, I've seen a good chunk of Clone Wars, and obviously we've talked about Resistance
and Rebels,
all that stuff, and Rebels, yeah. But there's always kind of been this desire for, like, oh, but, like, what if they had a live-action TV show that, you know, kind of, you know, had directors and actors who we know from, like, the movie kind of side of things, and to finally get that is so, so cool. So, yeah, I'm excited, and I'm totally getting Disney Plus when it comes out.
Yeah, I'm beyond excited for this, and obviously we're also going to get the Cassian Andor, you know, movie at some point,
yes,
or TV show,
yeah,
at some time,
exactly,
which I'm really excited for too. But, you know, I think someone asked a poll, and I said it was really wrong to ask the question before Celebration, like, what are you more excited for, you know, the Mandalorian TV show or the Cassian Andor TV show? You know, my first response was obviously Cassian Andor, because I have a character. I know how it's going to be. I know the tone,
yeah, right,
that it can be.
Yeah.
And I think it's unfair, because Mandalorian, we didn't have anything from Mandalorian other than the title. Yeah. And, you know, and that could mean so many different things. But after seeing the footage from Mandalorian Celebration, you know, I think they did it good by keeping it two separate days from Rise of Skywalker, because it was literally both those two things, Rise of Skywalker trailer and everything at Celebration, and the footage we saw at Mandalorian, which just blew us away. Now, obviously, we got a full trailer or teaser of Rise of Skywalker, but Mandalorian, we got like 11 minutes of footage.
Right.
Like, it wasn't a trailer. So it wasn't like the flashiness of a trailer, but it was, yeah, the legitimate, like, footage. We saw the story play out. We saw the tone. We saw the pace of it. Then we saw a little bit of sizzle. Like, it was awesome. And I'm beyond ecstatic for it. Like, I cannot wait for the Mandalorian stuff to come out with the streaming service.
Yeah,
I am
I'm
a little
excited.
Disappointed that it's only going to be 6 episodes, but...
But I think it'll be an awesome 6 episodes.
Yeah, and when you think about that, each episode's an hour long. You know, that gives you, you know, 6 hours of content. That's technically, you know, three movies.
That's a trilogy's, yeah, worth of... I mean, we're used to 6 hours is a marathon of one of the trilogies, so...
Yeah, so, you know, so this will be okay. Like, I'm okay with that. But yeah, that's going to happen Friday. But beyond that, we also have the Disney Legends Ceremony. So the ceremony is hosted by Disney Chairman Bob Iger and will once again honor those visionaries and artists who have made significant contributions to Disney's legacy. This will include Jon Favreau, James Earl Jones, Bette Midler, Kenny Ortega, Robert Downey Jr. So a lot of, obviously, you have the Marvel stuff, you have the Star Wars stuff, like everyone that is just huge about this. And this is where you get a lot of just really fun little tidbits and news about the upcoming projects from these people that are involved. So I'm sure we'll get a little bit of Rise of Skywalker and a little bit of Mandalorian there. We also have the music and sounds of Galaxy's Edge, where John Williams will be talking about composing the new music for that, as well as, I'm sure he'll mention something about Rise of Skywalker. And I'll be honest with you, you know, without having been to Galaxy's Edge, it's hard to describe how great the ambiance is in there.
Yeah,
you know, like,
I mean,
I've been to Wizarding World. I grew up going to Disneyland. I've gone to Knott's Berry Farm. I've gone to all the, you know, a bunch of the Midwestern theme parks. And I think the closest thing I can describe it to is kind of Wizarding World, because you have the castle, you have the iconic thing of the castle, right? In Universal, and you walk in, right, and there's kind of like Harry Potter style music playing, or actually music playing from the soundtrack. There's people walking around in robes. There's all those things. So you kind of feel like you're actually in the world of Harry Potter for a little bit. Like, it's not like,
right,
they don't take it super far, but you do feel like it's there, and it's awesome. And you can buy robes, and you can blend in, you can buy a wand, you can do all those things. But in Galaxy's Edge, when you go to Black Spire Outpost and you go to Batuu, everything. So I was there in the morning and in the evening one night, and everything feels like you're there. The ambience, like, obviously there's like the sweeping score of John Williams as you walk into the entrance, and it's just like, you know, like, you're walking in, there's literally just, like, you walk in from, like, I've walked in from the main entrance once, which is from Fantasyland. There's also entrance from Frontierland, at least in California. And you walk in either entrance and the music is playing, but as you walk in, the music swells, like it changes from like the rock that is, you know, Frontierland, you know, think of the Thunder Mountain and the cowboys and stuff like that. So it's kind of got that rock right, to a different style. Like the rocks slowly change color. Like there's still like that earthy tone that you see in the pictures of Batu, but they slowly change color. The shapes start to change a little bit more. And then you open up right into like a resistance base and you see an X-Wing and an A-Wing fighter just like sitting there and you hear the music swelling and you're just kind of like, That's so cool. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it is ridiculously cool. And like, that's why it's hard for me to describe it to anyone. Like, it's so rad. So I'm really excited to hear John Williams' take on the music for it. But like when you talk about, they send the music and sounds, I'm also really excited to hear about how they talk about making the soundscapes, because that's where, when it is at night, my wife and I were walking around Galaxy's Edge at night, and, you know, obviously, when you walk around at night, you know, in a wooded area or a forest or somewhere, like, you hear the night sounds, right? You hear, like, the crickets and all this stuff, and I'm sure there's crickets and stuff like that from, you know, in Southern California. I don't remember hearing them pretty significantly in California, but you hear, like, odd animal sounds and stuff like that, stuff that you know is not real. You know, this is like a Star Wars character. So they literally make full soundscapes hidden inside the shrubbery as you're walking, just walking by like these futuristic Star Wars looking like light lampposts, if you will. Like, I literally took a picture of a lamppost because it was that cool. Like but it's like a Star Wars lamppost. But you hear like the sounds of like not cicadas, but like some other animal that makes a repeated tone, kind of like cicadas, interspersed with like space crickets, if you will. You know, like cool. I feel like Luke Skywalker saying laser sword at this point, because like calling it space crickets, but it is. It's some type of animal, and I'm sure they'll release a character guide of Batu, and you'll see like, oh, these are the insects of the planet, and these are the ones that make these sounds, and that's why you hear them at night and only at nighttime. But these are the ones you hear during the day, like. But they took the time to design all these things, and it's going to be awesome on Friday at 12:30. They're going to have a whole thing about music and sounds from Galaxy's Edge. So I'm excited for that. So beyond Friday, we also have the Vader Immortal. Now, Ben, how much do you know about Vader Immortal? We're going to get episode 2 first look at D23. Right.
I remember, we had discussed the first one before it came out, and then that was the last time I had paid attention to it. So I'm behind on that front.
Yeah, so Vader Immortal is a Star Wars VR series, which is really cool. So you have to have an Oculus or Oculus Rift or just Oculus, so you can do a VR with it. So it's a game slash a story. Okay, so bear with me to talk about it. So Vader Immortal is a story of Darth Vader, and you are in this. You know, you're a Force-sensitive role, Force-sensitive smuggler, so you're not Jedi, but you're not really... you're not really just a smuggler. You're a force sensitive smuggler. Kind of like they kind of pick the perfect thing that you kind of are the focal point of everything, right? And in episode 1, they announced it at Celebration in April. And this is, we're going to get a first look at episode 2. So it continues on the story. So it's a game, but it's episodic in a way because it tells a story. So think of it as a playthrough, if you will, but you get to walk around, look around, and the really cool thing is, like, as the story unfolds around you, it's not happening just in front like you're watching on TV. It's happening all around you. Like, as someone's talking, if you turn your head, you see someone coming up down a hallway, which is really, really cool. So, this is just another thing that they're pushing. This is ILM X Labs. I'm sure they will release Vader Immortal in some other form eventually, but right now it is still only VR. And I unfortunately don't have an Oculus, so I can't relive it. I got to experience it once in Celebration, and that was it. But everyone I know who has one, who I've bugged, like, hey, can I see it as it comes out? And they just say it's absolutely awesome. But that's what it is. And they're going to talk more about that on Friday. But Saturday, we're going to have a whole bunch of things on Saturday. We're going to have, obviously, Disney stuff, and then we're going to have a Heroines of Disney Galaxies with Ashley Eckstein from obviously Star Wars Clone Wars and Rebels on Sunday. And Sunday we'll get another park experience and products, so new things that'll be coming to the parks. And then obviously Sunday we'll have some more Galaxy's Edge stuff. So Thinking of the list, the rundown of stuff we have, I'll be 100% honest with you. I don't think we're going to get another trailer for Rise of Skywalker.
We should at least get a poster. Like a, you know, more than just the one we have with the title on it.
I think we'll get a poster, and I think we'll get a sizzle reel. You know, I was talking to my wife about this.
Well, didn't we get one for Last Jedi in August of that year as well?
We did. We got it at Comic-Con. And,
right, yeah, yeah. It was like a 5-minute, like, behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think for Last Jedi it was 3 minutes. That's where we saw Crate and we saw a bunch of things, but...
Yeah, that was cool.
We got a 5-minute one for Rogue One at Celebration. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting is, like, for the last couple Star Wars films, they've released a teaser and then kind of gone cold on it and let that just kind of simmer, if you will, and the fans kind of look at it, tear that apart, look at it. And then they release a kind of a sizzle reel, if you will, like a behind-the-scenes portrait of like what the movie is.
Yeah.
And like, then
have the filmmakers talk about it and get us excited for
what the story's going to be. Yeah, what's coming.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
And then they release the full trailer / release of tickets about a couple months before during a football game on ESPN. Yeah. Which makes sense because, you know, Disney owns ESPN. Totally. And that's worked for them. You know, both films have, you know.
Oh, yeah, totally. I think it's worked because, like, the behind the scenes will get us, like, kind of hungry for a trailer because we're like, oh, no. They've talked about the movie and now I'm kind of behind everything and I'm really excited to see what the movie itself looks like. And then so the trailer drops and we're like, this is it, you know? So.
Yeah. I'm excited because what I'm most excited for is I really want to see Emperor somewhere. Whether it be hologram, something like.
Oh my goodness!
After that laugh in the teaser trailer, you're just kind of like, oh my gosh, I need to know more about this. So I'm kind of excited to see how, or at least like the conversation of like how he's an overarching enemy from like all of them, but we just didn't know he's been behind the scenes, which you know makes sense because in all honesty, you didn't see him in A New Hope at all. You saw him only in hologram in Empire Strikes Back, and we finally see him in person in Return of the Jedi. So like he doesn't have to be present everywhere.
And even though he's, you know, Palpatine's in the prequels a ton, he's not in the prequels as the Emperor that much until Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. And even then, that's still, like, halfway through the movie that happens, you know? So, I think it's a good idea to kind of tie them all nine, together with him. Also, because he's a fan favorite, just as an actor. I'm super excited to see him in a movie.
It's just absolutely awesome. Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things where, so when we went through the rundown of what D23 is going to have, we're definitely going to get our trailer for Mandalorian. They've announced that already, so I'm super excited for that. We're going to go ahead and get some information about Rise of Skywalker. There'll be, you know, a costume exhibit so people can be able to see the different stuff, including the newest trooper that we have in the Rise of Skywalker. So we know Rise of Skywalker will be part of D23. How much, we don't know, but I'm thinking we'll probably get something, more likely a sizzle reel than a trailer, and my guess is that'll probably be on Friday, so that way it has all weekend to hit YouTube and just, you know, rack up numbers and stuff like that. I feel like it would actually come out during the Legends panel, like, that'd be, like, the big thing they show during the Legends panel when they talk to some of the characters and people there, but who knows, we'll have to wait and see where they end up releasing that. Speaking of new trooper from The Rise of Skywalker, we didn't get a whole lot of news from Comic-Con, and that was okay because we kind of figured Star Wars was going to be a presence at D23 because Disney holds their own thing, and we got this wonderful new red stormtrooper similar to Cardinal from the First Order, known as the Sith Trooper. It's really interesting, you know, when you look at the armor, the take on it. I sat and looked at it for a long time, and I've talked to other armor aficionados, if you will, members of the 501st and stuff like that. We've talked about it and we've looked at it and we've kind of deconstructed pieces. And I have a friend who's 3D modeled some of it. As we look at it, it really harkens back to three different trooper types kind of merged into one. It definitely has the look of the First Order trooper, not just with the helmet, but with some
of the
armor.
That's the first thing that came to mind.
With some of the First Order stuff. But it also harkens back to the original stormtrooper pretty heavily, at least when you look at like the armor pieces, not the helmet as much, but the armor pieces. And then, but it also, with some of the pieces, they look directly from Rogue One and Death Troopers. So it's a combination of these Death Troopers, which are, you know, an adjunct to what you saw in the original Troopers. You know, kind of a combination of the new stuff and then, you know, its own thing. And the really cool thing about this is this Sith Trooper is very detailed. If you look at the helmet and everything, there's all the, you know, he's got the gaskets, like the rubbery sides of what you get with the First Order between the arms and the knees and all that stuff. But the helmets and everything and a lot of the armor have these straight lines on it, these ridges. Very detailed, something that we couldn't get back in the 70s when making Stormtrooper armor with ABS plastic and vacuum forming it. I would say these are definitely a version of 3D printed / fiberglass formed. You know, obviously, I don't know how they are, how comfortable they are to walk around in. Most likely not very comfortable, but what do you think of the design, Ben?
I really like it. I mean, you kind of said a lot of it in the sense that it's kind of it like pays respects to all these different types of Stormtroopers we've seen already. I think also, and this just came to mind simply because the obvious thing is that he's red. But also the fact that we know that the Emperor's in this movie, I couldn't help but think about the Emperor's guards as well, just as far as the color scheme is concerned. I think it'd be cool to see both in the same movie if they're headed that way.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. You know, it's going to be red, like the Emperor's guard. The Praetorian guards were also red. So, you know they're going to be protecting something of high value. Are they going to be... See, what's really interesting is, are they going to be with the Emperor? Like, are these going to be, like, the precursor to us seeing the Emperor for the first time on screen? Or are they going to be, like, these replace the Praetorian guards that we saw in The Last Jedi that are going to be now protecting Supreme Leader Kylo Ren, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, because we were talking about... So, like, obviously Snoke is dead. So, you know... His guards need a different job. Oh, I don't know. I mean, like, Kylo Ren and Rey kind of annihilated all of them.
His guards are all dead.
That's true. But then, in terms of the Emperor, I would argue that these would probably be Emperor Stormtroopers, only because they're called Sith Troopers, and Kylo Ren has never really identified himself as a Sith.
Because, that's exactly it. That's the only thing I think of.
Yeah, and the only thing also is the fact that we do know that he doesn't, in the sense that I remember Maz Kanata says, you know, like, she's seen evil take so many forms, and one of them was the Sith, implying that the Sith no longer existed. Which also, you know, made me think, you know, Kylo Ren is obviously, he's referenced the dark side and all that kind of stuff, but he's never referenced the Sith, which is weird considering he looks up to Anakin so much, you know, but obviously he didn't, I don't know if he would be acting this way if... he knew that Anakin actually turned back to the good side, but maybe that'll be addressed. But yeah, I think Sith Trooper as a title makes me think these guys are going to be Team Emperor, and Kylo Ren's going to have the giant army that we've seen already of all the classic white Stormtroopers.
I can't, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. This movie has been probably one of the most exciting since Force Awakens. Because I really have no clue where it can go. Like, obviously, for Last Jedi, we had all these theories. Like, you knew it's going to pick right up from where it was at.
Yeah,
was Luke going to come back and be the Luke Skywalker that wanted to seek adventure and stuff like that and jump into it and be the Luke from, like, the EU? Or did he kind of go the Yoda route, like, which we saw, where he became a hermit and kind of wanted to pull away from the Force? You know, there were so many things, like, you didn't know. Whereas this, it's like, okay, we know about the Emperor. But it just opened up so many possibilities, so many things, and you just don't know. I think this is probably why I'm so excited for Rise of Skywalker.
Certainly excited. And that, and also just like the added fact that it's not just closing this trilogy, it's closing all three trilogies. It takes place several years later. So obviously, like you were saying, like with something like Last Jedi, like we had expectations for The Last Jedi because we knew it was going to pick up exactly where it left off. But, you know, and also I think, you know, having J.J. Abrams come back is a really cool thing. I know that wasn't the original plan, but I've never really seen him, like, finish a series before. He's only ever started them. So I think it'll be fun to see what he does.
I think from him specifically, and for him specifically, I think it's going to be good because, you know, he is a fan of Star Wars. So he's going to want to finish this right. Regardless, yeah, absolutely. Of that. So I'm kind of excited for that. But Sith Trooper, you know, it's one of those things, you know, their weapons have a wide variety of different stuff, from blaster to rifle to kind of a sword, vibro axe type thing. So we'll just have to wait and see how they're used in the movie or in a trailer or even a behind the scenes thing. But definitely, it's coming soon. We'll get more, but they did reveal that. I am a fan of the Sith Trooper design. I think it looks really cool.
Certainly the most, I think, striking outfit in a while.
Yeah, you know, definitely. It's also the most symmetric of all the trooper helmets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Because where, you know, it's definitely very symmetrical, straight down the middle from where it bends and everything, and very angular, but still having some of the rounded sides of what you get. It almost reminds me a little bit of like the Biker Scout in that style, mm-hmm, where it's a little bit more angular than what we got with the original troopers and stuff like that, but... That is it. That's it for today. We just really have that much till D23. And I don't want
to. We will have more to talk about next week.
Yes, we will. We're going to record early next week just so we can get it out as we talk about D23. I don't want to dive into a top spotlight topic this week just because I want to kind of wait and see what we can talk about with the Emperor and kind of find out at D23. Because I definitely want to dive into Palpatine a little bit more.
Yeah, and just Mandalorian stuff too. I mean,
it's too much. It's great.
Guaranteed stuff to talk about. Yeah, it's gonna be one of those episodes where we just keep going.
Yep, whereas this is a short one, next week's going to be a long one. Anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. And as always, I'm Mikey B.
And I'm Ben.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with the...